What is up, Rams Nation, and welcome to another episode of the Rams Wire Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Cameron DeSilva. You can follow us on Twitter at the Rams Wire and at Cam DeSilva, and you can catch everything that we write and post at theramswire.usatoday.com. It's been a little while since we've talked, but some things have happened, including OTAs and minicamp. The rosters are getting slimmed down a little bit with the Rams making a handful of moves, just minor transactions, offensive linemen being released, a few undrafted players being waived. But the biggest news, obviously, is coming out of OTAs and minicamp and how everyone performed there. But we'll get talking about a few of the lesser known topics and some things that not everyone is talking about necessarily. So catching up, the Rams finished OTAs and minicamp. Aaron Donald didn't show up, obviously. He's still holding out. He's looking for that new contract that's going to make him hopefully the highest paid defensive player in NFL history. Kind of unclear right now how long that holdout is going to last, whether he's going to show up for training camp, whether he's going to show up for the preseason or anything like that. But the Rams say they are working towards a solution and trying to get him signed. The players who were there did reportedly have really strong practices. Brandon Cooks and Jared Goff seemingly had a good connection on the field. You saw a few highlights of them connecting on deep passes. Michael Brockers and Dominican Sue were performing well and kind of building that rapport and chemistry on the defensive line. A couple guys who stood out, Gerald Everett had a really good mini camp and OTA session. He's looking like he could be the top tight end this year for the Rams. Corey Littleton and Samson Ebukam are both probably going to be starters at linebacker for the Rams this season. They were kind of more of role players last year, filling in and really just being backups to incumbent starters. But they do look like starters, and Wade Phillips went as far as to say that Ebukam is certainly going to be a starter at outside linebacker this season. So getting a little bit of clarity as far as the depth chart and the roster goes. So that's obviously exciting, especially during this downtime with a few more weeks until training camp begins and we really get those training camp battles. So moving on from OTAs and minicamp, we'll talk about that. We'll talk about competition and things like that on another episode of this podcast as we approach training camp. But let's talk about something that happened most recently, and that was the NFL Network releasing their, not necessarily their top 100, but the top 100 players in the NFL for 2018. This is something that they do every year. It's done by players. They're asked to rank players and put them in order of who they think is the best 100 players in the NFL. So the top 10 was released last night. And going into last night, the Rams already had five players on the list, with Jared Goff at 38, Talib at 53, Sue at 61, Marcus Peters was number 79, and Whitworth was 87. So they're obviously well represented. The Colts, on the other hand, didn't have a single player on the list. So the Rams definitely had a strong showing on this year's list. But with the top 10, there was a little bit of controversy. Aaron Donald came in at number 7, which is honestly a very surprising for a player of his caliber. Even though he was 15 last year, I expected to see a huge rise from him and possibly even go into the top 3, top 4 players. And then Todd Gurley was number 6. So between those two players, it was a little bit surprising to see both of them in the top 10, to be honest. But they definitely deserve it. They're the reigning offensive and defensive players of the year. They put together extremely strong seasons in 2017. And even though the list is supposed to be based on projecting next season, they definitely deserve to be in the top 10. So here's how the top 10 shook out from 10 to 1. You had Aaron Rodgers, Von Miller, Drew Brees, Aaron Donald, Todd Gurley, and then the top 5 was Le'Veon Bell, Julio Jones, Carson Wentz came in at number 3, Antonio Brown at number 2, he was the highest rated non-quarterback, and then, not surprisingly, Tom Brady was number 1 for a second straight season. So, two guys that made huge jumps from last year to this year were Wentz and Gurley, as neither of them even made the top 100 last season. So much of the same from last year: Tom Brady, Antonio Brown, Julio Jones, Le'Veon Bell, Von Miller. They were all in the top 10 a year ago. A lot of similarities and familiarity with those players, but let's talk about strictly Aaron Donald and Todd Gurley. Going into last night's or Monday night's reveal, I posed a question on Twitter of where people thought that Gurley and Donald would rank. With both of them being in the top 10, we knew that going in. I wanted to see what fans kind of felt where they would rank or where they deserve to be ranked. And I had a lot of people say that Aaron Donald deserved to be in the top five, top three. Many of them said, so one person said Aaron Donald three, Gurley seven, Donald one, Gurley third, Gurley seven, Aaron Donald two. So a lot of top fives for Donald and right around six or seven for Gurley, which I think was appropriate. I don't think he really necessarily needed to be higher than number six. I was honestly a little bit surprised that he was even in the top 10. But Bell also in the top 10. I kind of figured that Bell would be a little bit ahead of Gurley. There's a ton as a wide receiver. Just all the things that he's done for the Steelers over the years, more years that he's been in the NFL after that disappointing 2016 season. Pro Football Focus ranked him number one heading into 2018. PFF also left and only had, I think, one running back in that list, which was Le'Veon Bell. He was somewhere around. Pro Football Focus had Donald number one, not only in overall grade from the past season, but object each player to do. Donald was number one. So obviously, the guy with this list, but seven just feels way too low for me. 21 more than any other interior defender in the playoff game alone. Again, that game and. He was a big reason that the Rams even kept it as close as they did. Was getting sacks. He had 11 sacks last year in 14 games, and that's without playing on his own all offseason. So the fact that he was able to get 11 sacks in just 14 games is incredibly impressive, especially for a player in his position, because of what he's doing, not only at his age, but just with the supporting cast around him and getting into 2018. It's hard to pick any quarterback over him. I would have had just projecting what he's going to do next season for the Packers, being fully healthy, and I would have had him a little bit higher, but I probably would have put Donald number two behind Brady. As what you do, Donald ranks way up there. No matter who you have at guard, who you have at center, he does. He's going to get his hands on the quarterback, so it's really hard to stop a player like that. And at the very least, he would be ahead of guys like Julio Jones and Todd Gurley. Probably after he was an MVP candidate last season, expectations are obviously high heading into 2018. Fine with him being number six. I'm not exactly okay with him being ranked above Donald. That's not a value ranking. This is a sheer talent and who's better than who. Pairing Donald and Gurley, if you had to pick one who's going to make the Hall of Fame, you're going with Donald 10 out of 10 times. Where stats aren't, they're not completely measurable and they don't. Sacksless. He shouldn't be from being a defensive tackle playing in a 3-4 or pre completely wrecks game plans and really just wrecks havoc on on opposing off the Le'Veon. He was completely left off of Pro Football Focus's list, which is even worse than 1,093 yards last season with 19 total touchdowns, led the NFL in both of those categories. So 17 season was pretty remarkable, especially after the year he had with Jeff Fisher in 2016. But moving on to another topic, a series that we're doing at the Rams Wire, myself and my contributor Andrew Ortenberg, who you should follow on Twitter. We're ranking each position in the NFC West by team. So we'll take the quarterbacks, rank them, which team has the best set of quarterbacks, which team has the best running back tandem, or really just entire backfield, wide receivers, offensive line, tight ends, you name it. So we're ranking all of those positions by team, and I'll just touch on the quarterbacks a little bit here. We ranked I did this one, and I ranked them as Russell Wilson number one, Jared Goff was number two, Jimmy Garoppolo was number three, which some fans probably won't be happy about given the hype that's surrounding him, And then the duo of Sam Bradford and Josh Rosen last in the division with the Cardinals, obviously. Wilson, you can't argue against this guy's numbers. He scored something like 90-something percent of the Seahawks' touchdowns last year. I think he had 34 of their 37 or something like that. And that's with no running game, a receiving core that was not exactly strong, even though Doug Baldwin is a good player. Tyler Lockett has good speed. It's nothing like what the Rams had with Robert Woods, Cooper Kupp, and Sammy Watkins. He did it with a terrible offensive line. The red zone offense was terrible with no really strong running back to hand the ball to, besides Wilson and Jimmy Graham. Without those two players, they would have been. Russell Wilson is a player who can carry his team, unlike many other players, even when he doesn't have a strong supporting cast. He's a rare quarterback in the NFL, collapsing pockets, and he's a player who doesn't get mentioned all the because he plays out west with the Seahawks, but he's definitely one of them. Even Jared Goff in the NFC West, who had a really good season last year. He had a really strong season last year, made his first Pro Bowl, led the Rams to the playoffs. Was just the fact that he had such a strong supporting cast. He wasn't a guy. He had a great offensive line with Andrew Whitworth, John Sullivan, Roger Saffold. The list goes on. A little bit disappointing. Robert Woods broke out for the Rams after being just he put together a great season in the slot as one of the better slot receivers. Just slightly ahead of Jimmy Garoppolo. Jimmy G, as you know, is in the NFL. He hasn't lost any yet. He hasn't really faced much adversity as far as that's what the 49ers are paying him like. They gave him a record-setting deal this offseason. He's certainly someone that gives the 49ers a great deal of hope and a lot of excitement. It was a little bit not difficult, but it was tough to quarterbacks. They both have good arms. Both can throw downfield, but just golf. That's kind of what put him over the edge as far as was the Cardinals with Sam Bradford and Josh Rosen. Just a lot of uncertainty there. He possibly get beat out by Rosen, whether that's because of an injury or just poor play. But it is a solid duo to start with in Arizona after the retirement of Carson Palmer and Bruce Arians moving on. So it's a little bit of a changing of the guard there. Bradford, obviously, the Rams are familiar with, being their number one overall pick almost 10 years ago. So they do have some talent. Sam Bradford has proven that he can be a good quarterback in the NFL when healthy. Rosen obviously hasn't proved anything, but in my opinion, he was the best. He was possibly the best quarterback in the NFL draft this past year, right behind Baker Mayfield. But he's one of the most pro-ready quarterbacks in the draft, and I think if the Cardinals do have to turn to him early on, I think he would be up to the challenge and he would perform really, really well in the NFL. The offensive line is a little bit of a question mark in Arizona. That's obviously a huge part of keeping a quarterback confident and upright. But Rosen isn't a guy who lacks confidence. He's familiar with being hit early and often at UCLA, and he doesn't really need a really strong supporting cast of receivers because he is an accurate player. He's someone who can lean on Larry Fitzgerald in the slot and really just grab hold of the offense and make it his own. So I wouldn't be surprised to see him beat out Bradford at some point. Bradford isn't a guy who typically plays 16 games in a season, so you always have to plan for injury. But Rosen is definitely a good backup to have there. And it's going to be really interesting to see how this division shakes out because so much of it is going to come down to the quarterback play. Moving on to the supplemental draft, it's not something that everyone is particularly familiar with or excited about, but it is taking place on July 11th. It's not going to be in Philly or Dallas or New York City at Radio City Music Hall. It's done over email, and this is, quite frankly, one of the only events that the NFL doesn't televise in prime time on a Thursday night on NFL Network. It goes relatively quietly. Teams submit bids on players. So there's three players eligible who are potentially going to be selected in this year's supplemental draft, which would be a huge, huge, huge deal because only two players have been taken since 2012 in the supplemental draft. So there are three players. They're all defensive backs. You have Brandon Bryant out of Mississippi State. He's a safety. Sam Beal out of Western Michigan. He's a press man corner with good size, good speed. And then Adonis Alexander out of Virginia Tech. So that's something to keep an eye on for the Rams. Obviously, with the way, if you're not familiar with the way the supplemental draft works, teams submit bids for players that they want. So ahead of time, the NFL is divided into three separate groups based on how many wins the team had the previous year. And then within those three groups, the teams are drawn via lottery to determine the order. So say the Rams are in the third group, which is the 12 playoff teams. If they want to submit a bid for Brandon Bryant, they can submit a third round bid for him. And if they're the highest team that bid that, they would be awarded him in the supplemental draft. But what happens is they would lose their third round pick in 2019 as a result. So essentially, this is just a pre-draft selection process where teams can use their 2019 picks in order to draft one of these players or all three of them if they so choose. All three have a chance to be drafted. It would be a big surprise if more than one were drafted just because of how infrequently players are selected. But that's essentially how the whole process works. It's done over email, and then the NFL announces which team was awarded who. And it doesn't happen often that players are selected, but this is kind of a rare year for that. So getting into the prospects, we have Brandon Bryant, obviously. He's a safety out of Mississippi State. The Rams were in attendance for his workout. He ran a 4.45 40-yard dash. That's a good time for a safety of his size. He's most likely going to probably play free safety in the NFL. He's 5'11", 207 pounds, so he has the requisite size. His ball skills aren't great, which kind of hurts his value at free safety, but he definitely has the size, speed, and intelligence to play in the NFL. Of the three players, he's probably the least likely to be selected, but there is a chance if somebody is looking for a safety. Sam Beal is a corner out of Western Michigan. He's a guy who excels in press man. Obviously, the Rams don't really have a huge need at cornerback right now with Marcus Peters, Aqib Talib, and Nickell Roby-Coleman, but Roby-Coleman is really the only surefire return guy for next season. Marcus Peters has his contract expiring. The Rams obviously hope to extend him, and then Marcus or Aqib Talib is nearing the end of his career, so it's kind of unclear how long he's going to play. But Beal is a nice player. He's got 4.46 speed. Academic issues like Brandon Bryant and Adonis Alexander led him to apply for the supplemental draft because they weren't eligible in 2018. But he's a good player. He's got good size, good speed. Again, someone who looks the part as an NFL cornerback, which could draw some teams to him. And then Adonis Alexander, former Virginia Tech Hokie. He's a big cornerback at 6'2", a little bit on the slender size at only 194 pounds. His speed obviously isn't something that is his greatest asset. He ran a 4.62, but he plays faster on the field than he does on a track. He has good range and physicality, obviously being that size, and academic ineligibility forced him to apply for the supplemental draft rather than returning in 2018 to Virginia Tech. All three again have the chance to be selected next month. It'd be a little bit surprising to see all of them come off the board, but Beal and Adonis Alexander definitely have the best chance to be taken. The Rams, I at this point, I kind of doubt that they're going to select any of them, even though they were reportedly in attendance for Bryant's workout. They just don't really have a need at cornerback or safety right now, in really spending a 2019 draft pick on someone with so many question marks heading into next season, isn't necessarily the best route to go. I think they'd be better off waiting for next year's draft to Kind of see what happens with Marcus Peters and Aqib Talib and LaMarcus Joyner, who's playing this year on the franchise tag. So I think that they're kind of going to wait it out a little bit and see what happens, and kind of sit by idly during this supplemental draft. Moving on to the next topic of conversation today, the Rams announced their training camp schedule for this year. It starts on July 26th at UC Irvine once again. There's going to be 13 practice sessions. 12 of them are going to be open to the public. The only one that's not open to the public is July 27th, and that's because it's a special event for, I believe, Rams season ticket holders. So that kind of gives them not an advantage, but kind of a little bit of a benefit for being season ticket holders. So they have practice from the 26th to the 30th, day off on the 31st. Couple of practices on the 1st and 2nd of August, another one on the 4th, and then they take the next 4 days off ahead of their game against the Ravens on August 9th, which is a Thursday night game at 7:30 Pacific time. And then they have five more practices after that, and then they have another preseason game against the Raiders at 1 o'clock Pacific time on August 18th. So that's kind of what their practice schedule looks like. Training camp should be a lot of fun again this year. It's going to wrap up on the last practice is on August 16th. We have all the information you need to know on the Rams Wire website. I can put the link in the post here from the podcast, so you can check all that out. If you're in Los Angeles, why not go and check out the players and try to get some autographs. All the practices start at 3 p.m. except for one of them. The one that's not starting at 3 o'clock is the final practice, August 16th, which starts at 9:45 in the morning. So again, you can check out the Rams Wire. We'll have all the information there that you need to know. Autograph sessions after every practice. They group them by positions, so the linebackers and special teams will be one day, running backs and receivers another, and so on. So you got a chance to meet some of the players, talk to them a little bit, get some autographs. So if you're in the area, go check it out at UC Irvine starting on July 26th. And that's going to do it for today's episode of the Rams Wire podcast. Hopefully we'll talk to you guys soon and have some updates ahead of training camp. Again, training camp starts on July 26th, which is when things are really going to ramp up. Position battles, roster spots, depth charts. All that fun stuff. So until then, be sure to keep checking out the ramswire.usatoday.com. Follow us on Twitter at the Ramswire, and you can follow me on Twitter at Cam DeSilva.